Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Your Health Reset. And today we're talking about communicating with a symptom. So this is a topic that's really near and dear to my heart because we have this tendency to hold ourselves in a pattern of illness because we are afraid to actually investigate and explore the symptom. To do that, we have to be able to get present with it. And in our Western culture, we have absolutely normalized not having to think about the body from the neck down, and that being our version of quote unquote health. We didn't start out that way as kids. As kids, we were whole beings, very aware of our bodies from the top of our head to the tip of our toes. We were aware of our biofield. We were sensing, we were receiving. We were almost too aware for many of us. Sensitive folks that are pretty emotionally intelligent, very aware of the energy around us. Perhaps it was even an experience of feeling overloaded by the information around us. And that is one of the reasons why we stopped paying attention. Or perhaps you actually got trained away from your awareness of the body, like so many of us do in our Western culture, and got taught to think from the neck up. Here's the problem with that. It means that we really only pay attention to the body when something has gone wrong, when there's a symptom, when it slows us down, when it's irritating, annoying, even scary, as so many of our symptoms are for such a long period of time. I call this part of the health mastery or the road to health mastery. I call this part the survivor stage because you're just trying to survive symptoms. You're not curious about them at all. You're trying to push through, ignore. You think solutions are outside of you and they're going to come from somebody in a white coat and it's probably going to look like a magic bullet, ideally in a prescription bottle or in an over-the-counter. Yeah, can I pop two Advil and be done? Great. Let's keep moving. And I definitely was trained into that. I'm a fourth generation entrepreneur. And I grew up thinking I'll sleep when I'm dead. I became a theater director as first by trade. I was doing my health practice on the side and running a theater company. And I was keenly aware that unless you're willing to outwork the people in front of you, behind you, next to you, then you really don't belong here and you need to get out of the way. So that was my introduction, my hypnosis into my relationship with my body. Even as I was exploring chakras and meridians and energy work and somatic trauma release, and I thought I was doing all the things, but in practice, I was training myself away from awareness of my body as much as possible throughout my day and my life. One of the things that really caught my attention, though, and changed my relationship to symptoms into the body and to discomfort itself, I was in Thailand and I was studying with these Thai masters, and each one was basically a living legend in terms of some kind of art form and art discipline. And they were laughing at all of us that had come over from the US because we were so fragile. We were obsessed with air conditioning and comforts and ease and quick results. And they said, oh my gosh, you've been taught such a lie that you should never be uncomfortable. Isn't that interesting? And it really shook me because it's true. We're one of three countries where pharmaceutical companies are allowed to market to you directly as a consumer, which is just insane and appalling if you think about it. But we have absolutely been told by big pharma and over-the-counter stuff and all the other messages in between, don't feel uncomfortable. Silence the symptom. You shouldn't have to withstand discomfort at all. There's a dimmer switch for that. There's an app for that. There's a pill for that. There's a Band-Aid for that. Take it and immediately be relieved so that you no longer have to think about this or problem solve for the long term. Nowhere is that more true than our own health, right? So when it comes to chronic symptoms and changing our relationship to them and communicating with a symptom, the first thing we have to realize is that we have been sold a lie, that we have been taught to not, that something is wrong if we actually have to pay attention to our bodies. When you think about it, the body is actually our way into this plane. It's our way into this life, and it is our way to express ourselves in this paradigm, in this environment. We simply could not be here and exist in this way as ourselves without these bodies. So not only is it your home and your vessel, I don't like thinking about bodies as temples because it sounds like, ooh, you got to be really good and take good, you got to get it just right. Otherwise, you're fucking up and then you're bad and you've done it wrong. And it just brings up this image, if the body is a temple, of this really stagnant, static environment that is supposed to be unchanging. Yes, it's holy and it's supposed to be beautiful, but it's unchanging. And nothing could be further from the truth with a body. It's constantly remaking itself. It's much more like a magical rainforest that knows exactly how to maintain itself. There's so much innate wisdom in a body, how to self-regulate and balance across systems and communicate within the body to itself and across different parts of the brain. And there's so much deep interconnectedness, almost like a rainforest, so that you really don't even understand what you're doing when you try to add in inputs into this rainforest. Oh, I'll just put this thing into this water, or I'll just take this pill, I'll just take this shot, and that will make the rainforest happy. But you have no idea if that's going to kill off a certain kind of beetle and necessitate another beetle taking over its space. Otherwise, the snakes will starve to death or all the things. What happens to the frogs and the birds? You really don't know. So we have to trust that there's an innate wisdom to the body at a biochemical level and certainly at a bioelectrical level, because your nervous system is regulating absolutely every aspect of your immune system and your digestive system. And it really is, in so many ways, dictating the rate at which you heal. So this is phenomenal to begin revisiting our relationship to this and unhooking from the trance that we have been sold, unhooking from the lie that we shouldn't have to think about this, and we certainly shouldn't have to listen. So once we stop trying to mask the symptoms, then we can actually work with them. Because if you absolutely understand and trust at a deep level that your body is brilliant and it is self-maintaining, then it starts to become self-evident that the body is having a very logical response right now. It is not an accident. Your symptoms are not an accident. They're absolutely a deliberate response and perhaps even a healing strategy. And it's time to reclaim our relationship, not just to our bodies, but to the signals that it gives us. Especially early on, you're going to have to build the muscle back to listen in, tune into the early signals. What is the first sign that something is wrong? That is a really good thing for you to become an expert at. What's the first sign? For Michael, it was his skin. He could feel it, even if it wasn't visible to anybody else. If he ate the wrong thing, if it said grass-fed butter, but it wasn't, if they were lying on the package, which we found happened over and over again, please stop buying Kerrygold, by the way. He was our human litmus test. He would walk in, or he would touch a fabric, or he would eat a food or drink water that would just instantly, he could feel his skin go and start to crack and become painful on the inside. And for me, it was my stomach. I could walk into someone else's biofield and instantly start hurting. It was really painful and very confusing. But when you don't have enough energy to maintain your own healthy biofield, to maintain your own cellular energy, then you absolutely get more susceptible to the people and the agendas around you. So that in itself was fascinating. But so for me, it was feeling almost a swelling and a hardening of the gut that was very subtle, a tension in the shoulders. I would shorten my neck. I could feel it happen. And it was certainly, yes, I was in 11 car accidents as a teenager, and it's like way more now. I don't remember even. But that's another story. That's a different episode. And my C2 area is quite the litmus test for me. Am I under stress? Do I feel safe? Has something gone wrong in the body itself? Right? Or am I off my path? My gut will tell me that too. My neck will tell me that too. What is your first sign? What is your symptom that it's time to respect and acknowledge and go, oh, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to get present here. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to assume that my body is brilliant and this is happening for a reason, because this is always a logical response that's going on in the body, right? Even if we're confusing the past with today, those of us that have spent a lot of our time with dysregulated nervous systems that have experienced trauma, there's a weird phenomenon happening right now as we become more trauma literate, that I really dislike, and we're going to have to unpack it in future episodes, where you become trauma anchored instead of trauma informed. And you're really just deepening the bruise that you're trying to honor and heal. So there can be a lot of confusion about in the body about, is something happening yesterday? And I had such an experience that I had to store it in my body. And now I have to deal with it. And my nervous system has dysregulated from it. And now this information is stored in the tissues until I am well enough, until I'm in a position to actually release it. Or is something happening right now? And I really need to slow down and pay attention to what it is. For both of those types of experiences, you'll notice that the first step is to slow down and listen. One of my top strategies, and I will shout it from the rooftops, it's just very practical, is I would just go into the bathroom when I got overloaded, when I was trying to relearn my relationship to the body. I would just find a bathroom, whether it was a public bathroom and splash water on my face, or I would go hide in the bathroom at work and just slow down and recalibrate. You can do tapping in there, or you can just slow down, do a butterfly hug, do a sympathetic nervous system shakeout, do something to get present with your body and start listening to the signals. Remove yourself from other stimuli, so the only thing you're listening to is the body. And the more you practice that, the stronger the relationship comes with the body, and the sooner you get to hear your signals. So many people who work with us, they show up in our practice or in our group courses, and they'd say, yep, I ended up in the ER before I finally paid attention to what was happening. I had to get scared in order to finally show up for myself. I had to get so uncomfortable that it finally mattered to me how I actually feel. Isn't that interesting? That's just bizarre to me, but it happened to me. I'm one of them. I remember it vividly, but it's such a strange phenomenon. You don't have to be that way. You can start shifting your relationship to your body now. Or if you're like me and you're super thick-headed and you wanted to ignore having a body, maybe you've been in and out of the ER. Maybe that's part of your journey, but it doesn't have to be anymore. The more you understand your body's signals and symptoms and early information that it's giving you. You can also work with symptoms at more of an energetic level, doing rapid process work, rapid change work to actually shift the energy so that your body knows it's okay to recalibrate and it's okay to move on. And we'll do one of those in a later episode, but today I really wanted to just explore the relationship between you and your body and the way that we have trained ourselves to think about these things. One of the things people have to unlearn in our courses, and we teach us to the practitioners in our mentorship for them, is that you have to revisit your relationship to symptoms, understand that there's a logical reason for them, and start unpacking whether or not the symptom is a reaction, perhaps a flare or a crash or a Herxheimer, whatever your word is for it, or is it actually the healing response of the body itself and you just don't like it? That's uncomfortable, isn't it? But it can certainly be the case. So I was somebody that got bloated, and we get people that have SIBO and liver stagnation and lots of mold stuff, and it turns out epic parasites, and that's how they end up in our practice and our courses. And some people get extremely emotional about bloating and how bloated they can become and how quickly it can happen and how nothing they do brings it down and how visible that symptom is. And I vividly remember being one of them. I remember being in a foreign country on a work trip, and people kept mistaking me for being pregnant. And I just let them because I didn't want to keep explaining what was happening. There was a language barrier. It was just so embarrassing and frustrating. I was like, oh my God, get me out of here. So I'm not dismissing the emotional significance of it. But the problem is, one of your body's strategies here, when you're dealing with parasites, for example, and when you go after the parasites, one of the things that your body's going to do is it's going to flare that bloating, especially if you're dealing with larger worms. Especially things like ropeworm, that's a huge bloater right there. So you may be doing everything right, but because you're not expending energy on masking the symptom, you're expending energy on dealing with the root cause of the symptom, you're going to experience a flare because it is part of the healing response of the body. I'm so lucky that Michael understood this before me, because I really was not on board with that concept. I was still really traumatized in my relationship to my body. I'd been kicked out of school from public school as a teenager in freshman year for being too anorexic and being deemed unsafe to be in the public school system. I got sent home to deal with it. And from then on, I felt like an experiment, a little specimen under the doctor's glass. And the more that I tried to ignore the body, the better chance I had for withstanding the day, for surviving the day. And that has its place in our lives. It can be a part of our chapters, but it's certainly not the gentlest way forward or the fastest way forward when it comes to deep healing. So we've got to get more sophisticated in understanding our symptoms, understanding what's a flare, what is a healing reaction. And a healing reaction is actually a healing strategy itself. So the body wants to flare up a fever, build a fever up in order to flush things out. You may not like the fever. It's not fun. It's disruptive. It might even feel scary. But the fever has to become, is a process the body has to go through. And the longer you suppress it, the more you prolong the illness. So if you allow the fever to rise and you even support it to rise, the fever will break. The body will resolve things and it will flush out what needs to flush out in order for you to keep going, for you to reclaim your health. So many symptoms are like that. So your job is to become a detective of your symptoms. So we already talked about, what is your first early signal that something is wrong? And that could be you ate the wrong food or you're in the wrong situation, you're making the wrong decision. Your body will tell you. Your body does not lie, and it always knows the truth. So you slow down. You might remove yourself from the situation while you start to listen and unpack and get your energy present to what is happening right now. Not what happened yesterday. What is happening right now? Start connecting the dots. And then from there, we start getting more and more sophisticated about understanding, is it a Herxheimer reaction? Is it something that you cause and a sign that something has gone wrong? Or is it actually the healing response itself, like a fever? The sinus is running. This is not an accident from the body. The body's trying to flush something out. Bloating while you're dealing with parasite work. Of course, the body's going to add a little bit of extra fluid into the GALT, the gastro-associated lymph tissue around your digestive organs. When the parasites are fighting back and they're dumping endotoxins and you are trying like hell, your body is to flush these suckers out and reclaim sovereignty. Or for Michael, his early sign was his skin flares. And it was also a sign that his body was trying to flush something out, that deep-seated toxicity. So he knew when he started coffee enemas, for example. We talked about this in another episode. He knew and he had that awareness early on, oh, I'm getting a skin flare and I'm trying this therapy. And I think that means I'm over the target. And sure enough, it would resolve after a few days and he would achieve a new level of relief because he was brave enough to keep it going. So your job is to listen. Your job is to connect the dots here and to assume not just sovereignty of the body, but respect the brilliance of the signals that it's giving you. Because we ignore them at our peril. Certainly did it. I ended up in the ER. I get it. And there's always another way, a gentler way forward. So I hope this is helpful to you. And if it resonated, I would love to know. Come talk with us on Instagram about this post and share it with all your loved ones, right? We need to get more sophisticated as a culture. It's time to reclaim not just our body's sovereignty, but a deep, loving, respectful relationship with this vessel that's our home, the sacred rainforest. Because there's so much innate wisdom in there. It's absolutely self-managing. You're just looking at optimizing it right now. If it didn't have an ability to self-manage, you'd be dead. But instead, you have so much innate intelligence that continues to run your body and is working potentially with the deck stacked against it, depending on the food you're eating, what you've been exposed to, all the things. And yet here it is, rooting for you with every breath. And it will until it absolutely cannot any longer. And it simply must give up. It's never, ever going to stop rooting for you. It's like your best friend and your home at the same time. So give your body some love today. Start listening. Slow down. And we will see you soon.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.